West Coast College Training, July 11 through 17, 2011, Occidental, California. Title, A Man of God. Morning Session 2, Message 3. Living a Shepherding Life by Ministering Christ to Others in Love. Scripture Reading, John 21:15 through 17, Ephesians 5:29, and 1 Timothy 4:12.
So maybe we could open to the gospel on campus, and we're on message 3 here. On living a shepherding life by ministering Christ to others in love. I really appreciated the opening word that the brothers gave, not the opening word, the word on the gospel on campus the other night. The brothers were talking about where is the place where students, where people are the most open, the most accessible, and the most unoccupied. Praise the Lord, these are the ones on the college campuses. Amen. It's so good to be on a college campus. Amen. This is where people are open, accessible, and unoccupied. Amen. And we saw yesterday that we are those who need to rise up to seize the opportunity. There is an opportunity on our campuses, a unique opportunity. And as branches in the vine, this was another point that the brothers brought out. Our normal function is to bear fruit. You know, actually, as a branch, our destiny is to bear fruit. This is brought out in John 15. The Lord says that He set us that we should go forth and bear fruit, and that our fruit should remain. And actually, I was just touched by this word, go forth. And every time we leave our house, whether it's a dorm, whether we live with our parents, whether we live in the brothers and sisters' house, every time we leave that door, that word go forth in Greek means to depart. You are departing from your home to go to the college campus. And what are you doing there? You are going forth to bear fruit. Amen. And the Lord's charge is not just that we would bear fruit. But we see in John 21, the Lord charges us concerning His lambs. So the fruit that we bear in John 15 becomes the lambs that the Lord has committed to us in John 21. And so I'd just like to ask everyone a quick question. And if, do you love the Lord Jesus? Amen. If you love the Lord Jesus, stand up and proclaim your love for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love you. Amen. Amen. Well, for all those that love the Lord Jesus, and for all those that stood up, I believe the Lord has a word for us this morning. Just as the Lord had a word for Peter, He made him breakfast, Peter had backslidden, he went fishing with the brothers, the Lord told him to stay in Jerusalem, the Lord went to recover this backslidden brother, and He went to this brother, He made him breakfast, there's a real intimate atmosphere there, and He asked Peter, He said, "Do you love Me?" Peter said, "Lord, You know that I love You." He said, "Feed My lambs." He asked him again, "Peter, do You love Me? Shepherd My sheep." "Peter, do You love Me?" Peter was grieved, asking Him three times, "Do You love Me?" The Lord's asking us, "Do You love Me? Feed My sheep." For those who love the Lord, we have to take care of the Lord's lambs and the Lord's sheep. This is the Lord's question to us this morning. "Do You love Me?" "Yes, Lord. Feed My lambs. Shepherd My sheep." This is the Lord's commission and charge to us. I just appreciate it, even from the training, that we need to realize, who is this one that we're loving? This is the one in Ephesians 3:2. "He is to Me for you." In that situation, the Lord was to Peter, so that Peter could be to others, even to those 3,000 He spoke the gospel to in Acts chapter 2. So the Lord is to Me for you. The fruit in John 15 becomes the lambs in John 21. And I'd just like us all to be impressed, because we can have some thoughts about shepherding. We say, you know, "I'm going to be an incoming freshman on campus. I can't shepherd." You can shepherd. You say, "I don't have a lot of experience. You know, I'm getting recovered. I've been backslidden. I'm getting recovered. I can't shepherd. What can I do?" No, we all can shepherd. Everyone can shepherd. The shepherding is not the job just of full-timers. The shepherding is the job of every saint. It's not the job of elders. It's the job of every saint. It's the job of everyone in this room. We are all shepherds. We all have the capacity to be parents. You know, one day, if the Lord delays, many of you will probably have children. And when you have children, you're going to have to be a parent. Something is in a human being, some kind of capacity to be a parent. It's innate. It's when you were born, you had this capacity. Praise the Lord for our spiritual birth. In our spiritual birth, we receive the capacity to shepherd people. How can we say we can't shepherd people when we're one spirit with the Lord? We have the pneumatic shepherd in our spirit. We all can shepherd people. It's innate. It's in us. But it does also require some learning. And just with that, maybe we can go to this outline, and we're just going to bring out some points. Hopefully that will also help with this matter of learning and to bring out some points related to shepherding and love accompanied by students' testimonies. So how about we read Roman numeral 1 all together? The shepherding life. Amen. In the condition and atmosphere of love. So this is really defining what shepherding is. A life of ministering Christ to others in the condition and atmosphere of love. And in Acts 20:20, just such an intimate atmosphere. If you have time, you can go read those verses. But there, Acts 20, that whole chapter, Paul was on a trip. He was going to Jerusalem, and he kind of, on the way, he stops and he calls some elders, some brothers from Ephesus to meet with him. And it's just an intimate time with tears. It's the last time he sees them. It's a very affectionate and personal time that he has with these brothers. And in Acts 20:20, he talks about how he was with them, you know, and he was teaching them, declaring to them, and not withholding anything from them. And he did this both publicly and from house to house. And so the ones whom the Lord gives us, the ones whom He gives us to shepherd, whether we meet them on the gospel, whether we meet them from an event on our college campus, or whether they're a classmate and our friend, we need to care for them. Paul gives us a pattern in Acts 20 of how to care for these believers. And he said that he could declare to them all the things concerning God publicly and from house to house. Publicly, that's in the student center. That's in your student union. That's in the cafeteria. That's in the classroom. That's on your way to class. That's while you're waiting for class. That's publicly. But praise the Lord, house to house. Paul went to people's houses. And he told them, you know how I was among you. I went to your house. I was there in tears with you, admonishing you for 3 years, night and day. We need to be like this with the ones we have under our care. We not just take care of them on the public setting. There may be a lot of appointments on campus, but we need to be those to go. To go to where people are. We need to depart from our comfort zone, from where we're comfortable. I appreciate that little diagram that Brother Lampstand put up yesterday. There is an arrow that goes to people's homes. We've been taking people to our homes. We need to go to their homes. When we contact people, we need to go to their homes. What other setting is more intimate? What other setting are people most comfortable in than in their living room? And when you go, leave the chairs. Don't set up a four-square meeting in people's living room. Leave the chairs at home. Just bring your companion, two of you go, and have a meeting with them. Read the notes in John 15:16. It's brought out the best way to care for these new believers is to establish a home meeting in their home, to go and to care for them in this way. And I'm really running out of time. But a home meeting, it's not to go up and set up a four-square set of chairs in people's home, saying who's going to bring the hymnals, who's going to bring the songbooks, who's going to print out the ministry excerpt, and who's going to speak to them. You got to forget about that concept. A home meeting is you going for 15 minutes to sing a song to that new one and then leaving. Going for 15 minutes to read the Word of God with your companion and then leaving. That's a home meeting. It's not having this four-square thing in people's homes. And so this is a real cherishing atmosphere where we can love them and minister something to them. Then I'm just going to read these points here, A, 1, and 2. In shepherding the saints, what is needed is the intimate concern of a shepherding life. How fruitful we are, how much fruit we bear, does not depend on what we were able to do. It depends on whether we have an intimate concern. A ministering life is a life that warms up others. If we would minister life to the saints, we must have a genuine concern for them, a concern that is emotional, deep, and intimate. And really the first thing we do when we contact people is we just care for them. We try to warm them up. You know, there was an example of the warming up yesterday. The brother just said, what a nice tattoo. And that man, he just melted. We need to learn to have normal conversation with people, even in the first few times when we go visit them. Normal conversation. Don't bring up God's economy. You know what that is? These little ones are our children. And when we take care of them in the initial stages and we bring out these heavy truths, it's like spanking them. You know, God's economy the first time? That's a spank. Go and just spend time with them. Go care for them. They're not the object of our work. These are people. The Lord loves them. The Lord cares for them. And our going needs to be backed up by prayer. And Sam's going to get into all these points. So I'm going to go on. B, love is the most excellent way for us to be anything and to do anything for the building up of the body of Christ. One, because the church is a home, a hospital, and a school. We must be one with the Lord to raise up, to heal, to recover, and to teach others in love. And maybe you can go through those verses and see where home, hospital, and school comes from. And lastly, we must spend what we have, our possessions, and spend what we are, our being, for the sake of the ones under our care. And I just asked two students to give their testimonies, Constance Wu and my brother Joe here, related to this matter of a lot of the points I wasn't able to bring out related to concern and love. They can bring out in their sharing. So maybe y'all both could come up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I just really appreciated two points in this outline really quickly. We must have a genuine concern for them, a concern that is emotional, deep, and intimate. Another point says we must be one with the Lord to raise up, to heal, to recover, and to teach others in love. And this past year, actually, I've just really been appreciating, you know, we all know the three circles, the body, which is the very outer circle, the soul, and then the spirit. And it one encompasses the other, but actually it's not a target. It looks like a target, but that's not how we gain these ones. To gain them, you have to go from the outside in. So I just really appreciated that. And this past year, I just really appreciated shepherding this one brother. His name's Kevin. And my initial contact with him was through Enosh. We met him at a Freshman Connect meeting, and then I met him in the home meeting. And from there, we had contact, and we actually realized that we had a couple classes together. So because of this, we started going to and from class together, from one class to the other. And through this time, I got to know him in a very human way, in a very spiritual way, actually, because eventually we knew that we were both in Christian students. And so he started asking me questions, you know. But it was through this initial human contact, you know, getting to know one another in a very human way that opened him up to spiritual questions. And through this time, he started to ask questions about our practices. And then eventually, this initial contact brought up a burden in me. So I brought this up in prayer, in the twos and threes. And through this prayer, in the twos and threes, I gained a love for him. The Lord granted me his love for this one. Right in John, you know, he said to Peter, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep," right? So and through this prayer, I really gained the love for this one. And one day I remember, he started to come to the meetings, and amen. And then I started to notice that he was missing his meetings because of schoolwork. He was saying, "No, man, I got to do homework." And then so I got to ask him, you know, "How's your schoolwork doing? How's everything doing?" And actually he brought up that he needed some help. And by the Lord's sovereignty, we were in the same classes together. So I started to help him in his schoolwork. And since the meetings are for the gaining of these remaining fruit, oh Lord, I started missing the meetings. To shepherd this one, to bring him, you know, if I could help him in a human way, this would bring him to the meetings, you know. If this was the reason why he was missing the meetings, then I would miss the meetings to help him, to bring him into the meetings that he would have more time to be able to go. And then, anyway, so I just appreciate, you know, many of us know John 10:10. "I have come that you may have life and may have it abundantly." But John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And so I just really appreciate it that through this experience, I learned how to lay your life down for the sheep to whatever capacity you can as a student. Of course, your first priority there is a student. But your love for the Lord issues in a love for these new ones, right? And issues in the shepherding function within each and every person. We all have this capacity to shepherd. You know, I thought I didn't have this capacity. I was just an incoming freshman. But the Lord grants you his love for these ones. You just have to pray about it. The Lord will give you his love for these ones. And anyway, just an update on him and his growth in this past year. So initially, we met him at an event. And then through these events, we started to have appointments with him, brought him to the home meetings. And then he went to the spring conference. Hallelujah! And then at the spring conference, he was baptized. And then he began to come to student coordinations. He went on a spring break trip to Texas. And eventually, in the spring quarter, we had a Bible study in his dorm. Hallelujah! We had a home meeting. And then, spring quarter at our welcome dinner, he was the MC. Hallelujah! And then towards the end of spring quarter, we brought him into the twos and threes and started to pray and read the God-ordained way. And currently now, I'm reading through John with him over the summer. So we're still maintaining contact with him. Amen. Praise the Lord for Kevin.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Around this time last year, I had a really deep burden instilled into me to pray for my school. And I prayed to the Lord, Lord, use me to gain these ones, gain the ones that you have called out. And so during welcome week, I was taking a break, and I did not want to talk to any more people. And this one girl walked up to the table, and I was looking at all the students. I was like, go talk to her. But the Lord was telling me, you need to go talk to her. So I walked up to her, and I asked her, so do you want to sign up? And she said, what if I don't know if I believe in God or not? And at that moment, I was just so burdened for her. A concern grew within me to let her know who the Lord is. So eventually, during that week, I kept bumping into her on campus. And we just, it's as if we knew each other for years, and we just hugged each other. Hi, what's up? And she would ask me about the Lord. And I was very surprised how thirsty she was. And so I just fed her with whatever I was reading with my companions. And I was just enjoying the Lord, and it was just coming out. And I didn't know that she would, you know, keep these things, you know, that I speak to her, but she shares them later on. And so this one, first quarter, we prayed for her a lot. I prayed with my companions. I prayed with the couples in my home meeting. I told all the brothers and sisters to pray for this one. And she stopped coming and meeting with us for a period of time because she got busy with work and school. But I kept praying to the Lord. I was like, Lord, don't give this one up. Lord, what about this one? And so after winter break, I invited her to our local conference in Irvine, and she came. And while we were in the homes, my companion, she was praying while I was speaking. And we were speaking to her, and a topic of baptism came up. And then I was just like, Lord Jesus. And while my companion was speaking, we were just praying back and forth while the other was speaking. And she decided to get baptized that weekend. And I was just so happy. And what really marks out something to these ones is your living. They pay attention to everything you are and you do and who you hang out with. And I was just really touched because she got to spend a lot of time with the sisters. And it was very sweet. And afterwards, actually, one point is, you need to let the Lord love you first so that this love can grow in you and that this love becomes your patience to take care of these ones. Because babies don't become 18 in one day. It takes time. I also really enjoyed that we must learn to exercise our spirit until our whole being expresses a contagious joy. Lastly, an update on her is that she really loves the home meetings. She calls it family time. And she really enjoys seeing older saints enjoy the Lord for such a long time. And that their enjoyment of the Lord is so fresh. And another thing is, she actually wishes she can be here, but she wants to preach the gospel to her family in Mexico, to enjoy the Lord just as she has. And so she brought some Bibles down with her to Mexico this week, last week, and she just, Lord Jesus, it's really in the body, in the care of these homes, in your prayer, and everything in your labor. And it's not impossible. When you enjoy the Lord, it's like fresh paint being painted on you. And when people touch you, it's fresh to them. They can touch the Lord. So we need to take care of our enjoyment of the Lord. And nothing is impossible with the Lord. Let the Lord shepherd us first.
Praise the Lord that the Lord has set us, and we should go forth in, and we should bear fruit, and our fruit should remain in, I appreciate our brother's opening. Here you have the bearing of fruit, right? What is the bearing of fruit? That is our gospel preaching.
Amen.
But what a shame it would be. I appreciate last night, all of you came up to the mic. The room was full. I was the no way gospel preacher, right? No way. But many of you had to turn to the Lord to preach the gospel. And praise the Lord. If the Lord answered, 350 more would be born as fruit this year. But a year later, when we come back, is our goal just to bear fruit, just to win souls? Our goal is that our fruit would remain. What a shame it would be if we only had 5 or 10 of 350 born fruit, right? Our goal is not just to win souls and to say, praise the Lord, look how many we saved. Our goal is to build the body of Christ. Our goal is not a quick, instantaneous way. Our goal is a slow, steady, gradual, little by little way to bear remaining fruit. I appreciated Paul's own testimony. He said, day and night for 3 years, right? We're taking a gradual way, but this is the way that will bring the Lord back. This is the way that the body will be built. So I appreciate our brother's openness. This is the way we need to take. And this is the way not for the super apostles, not for just the elders, not for just the full-timers. As you heard, all of us can enter into this way. My prayer is that we all would have a change in our concept, right? That we would be those that do not despise our youth. Paul's speaking to Timothy here, right? Timothy is a young man, just like all of us. Many times, I despise my portion. And because of that, right, the fruit that we had, it was all borne by one or two people, right? But all of us, being coordinated, being blended, being built together in prayer and in the homes, we all can enter in to bear remaining fruit together. So this is for all of us, and this is not for later in life. This is for our college years. So I just like to, you know, emphasize these points again, because the next part of the outline we'll go through, these are many, many practical points, because we like to help you enter into this fruit-bearing and fruit-remaining life, okay? So how about we read Roman numeral 2 all together? Amen. So these following practical points, I love this progression here. It's very good. You have I grouped them in this way. I grouped A and B together as preparatory matters. And actually, I'll add a little insert here. After B, if you could add a little insert, this is another point that we are learning and we're picking up. We must go and visit people where they live. Okay, so add that little insert. This is our going to people like Enosh brought up. Okay, so first, A is to feed others. We need to enjoy the riches. Yeah. The riches of the Lord's divine life. This requires that we love Him. You know, some brothers, I know they do enjoy cold pizza in the morning, but we cannot bring our cold pizza to new ones. You know, babies like warm milk. Many times we go in a uncooked, in a raw, in a cold way, but we really need to have a fresh, living, up-to-date, personal experience of the Lord, right? Then we bring this fresh and living Lord to others, right? And then they're fed. But it first, a preparatory matter, we first need to enjoy. If we don't enjoy, if we don't have the expression of joy, how can anyone else ever enjoy, right? Why else would they want to enjoy? We go with a long face. We go with a cold disposition. We need to be fed with the riches, right, of the Lord's divine life. You know, if I just raise up some zeal within me to go and do this shepherding life, that will burn out within a few days or a few weeks if you're a little stronger. But the Lord's divine life is a shepherding life. This life has been installed in us, and we need to contact the shepherd within us. Okay? I appreciated a little testimony here that I'd like to read. And this actually goes along with point A, B, and C. And we'll go through those other points. But listen to this. This is from a ministry book. When you go to visit a brother, you must have the Lord going with you. You must not go simply because you have the burden and the willingness to go. If you go in this way, your visit will be futile. You do not have the Spirit, the life, or the Lord. You are acting alone. Okay? So we really need to take the Lord with us. The Lord is our partner. We need to say, Lord, who are you going to? Lord, I am going with you. Right? We cannot act independently. And even to extend this point, we don't just have the Lord in us. We have our companions. We have our twos and threes. And beyond that, like Lampstand Open, we have the family that we're connected to. Freshmen, first thing you do, get a companion and get a family. You are not standing alone on the campus. And as well, the Lord is in our spirit. He's always there. But is he fresh, right? Is he present, you know? We need to bring the Lord along with us. And we need to also, in point B, I'm jumping ahead a bit, but we need to pray in the twos and threes, okay? Let me go on with this reading. Before you go, you must pray to the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would give me a real burden to visit this brother. I'm in fear and trembling before you, Lord. I'm afraid of bringing myself there to visit him. Have mercy on me, Lord. If you do not go with me, I will not go. You must go with me. Also, enable me to speak with you. You must speak with me. Although I am a shepherd to this brother, I want to take you as my shepherd. Unless you shepherd me, how can I shepherd him? Unless I'm fed with your riches, how can I feed him with the riches? If you do this, you are one who lives entirely with Christ, right? Hence, when you go, the sensation, the flavor, and the atmosphere that you give him are simply Christ. This is to minister Christ, to dispense Christ. Otherwise, dispensing Christ and ministering Christ become mere terminology that is found in our messages and hymns, but is rarely seen in our daily life. We cannot skip this point of having a morning time, of having a prayer time, of being fed, and of being supplied by the Lord's divine life, okay? Let's go on and read point B. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we had a message on this already, right? I appreciated the progression. We go on the gospel, or we pray even before we go on the gospel. Then we go and someone gets saved, and then we continue to pray, right? We need to, what? We need to bind the binding one, right? And release our brother. I appreciate this so much that we have our eyes set on the right target. Our target is not the brother or the person or the sinning one, right? The target is the enemy. The target is Satan behind, right? So from our brother's message on persevering in prayer, what do they say? They say we have to pray on earth in order to release in heaven all that God has in his will for that person. When we stand with the Lord on earth to pray, everything the Lord has been released for that brother. Right? Everything Satan has been bound for that brother. These are all preparatory steps. We have to pray before we go. Otherwise, we may go in an uncovered way, and we may go with this brother being bound, and it just banging, you know? Not getting through. Why not? Because we forgot to pray. So at this point, okay, let me just insert the point that I had also. So we enjoy the Lord. We feed on his riches. We have the present Christ. We pray. But then we also have to go. And I'd like maybe this diagram that Lampstand used, maybe we could bring it up again. This is an excellent diagram. Because for a long time, we've always thought, bring them to our place, bring them to our place. But like Lampstand said last night, a lot of times we have the problem, they come and maybe it's a little cold, it's a little awkward, they don't know anybody, they don't like our practices, you know. Some stay, but sometimes we have so many, right, that come and then just go. So we've been learning that we need to go and visit people where they live, right? We have this one direction that we've been practicing. Come to our home, come to our home. But what did the Lord do? The Lord came to our home. Amen. The Lord came out of heaven to the earth. right? He went into the sinners and tax collectors' homes. He went to where they were. So we need to be a visiting people, right? Okay? We do need to have a home that we pray with and our twos and threes that we pray with, but then we go to them, right? And eventually, as we shepherd them and they become ones who enjoy the Lord, we bring them to the home meeting. This is our bringing them to the church life, right? But first, we need to shepherd them where they are, okay? And I'd just like to add a few points regarding our going this way. First thing, I want you to write this down. Do not go by yourself, okay? Do not go by yourself. On one hand, we need to pray with our companions to release that brother, but we need to realize we are going sometimes into a situation, you know, that is maybe not so sanctified. Maybe there will be things there that we don't practice, you know, and we would never put ourselves in such situations, but we need to be covered with our companion when we go into those situations. Okay? I don't like to talk about this too much, but brothers, I have known brothers that have gone by themselves without praying, without being fed, and they have been brought down through certain temptations. You know, in the whole context of Timothy, there is fornication, right? All of us know people drink, people party, right? Even I know a brother personally started, he got brought back into using substances. You know, this would be a shame, right? We need to be covered with our companion when we go. Don't think you're that strong. We are all vulnerable to sin all the time. But when we pray and when we enjoy the Lord and when we're covered, the enemy has no way, right? We are strengthened and we are covered in the body. So I don't want to make you fearful, but I want to be honest and I want to be have you be prepared. Go with companions. We need to go to the home, right? But we need to go with companions, okay? So three other things. When you go, like Enosh said, bring the word. Bring a little fresh enjoyment, you know? If you don't have it in your physical hand, the Bible, have it, you know, on your lips, in your tongue, right? So you need to bring something of the Lord. It's also very good to bring food. Bring something. Bring something for them to enjoy, you know? Not everywhere are there dorms. Some people live with their families, you know? But some do have situations, and I know freshmen don't really know how to cook, don't really know how to eat. Bring a little something, you know? And this is where your coordination with this home really helps, right? If you're coordinated with some saints, if you're blent with a family, that sister knows how to bake excellent cookies. And these ones love cookies. So you can go and you can shepherd them and you can warm their heart, right? If their heart is warm, the heart is the gateway between the spirit and the soul, right? You warm their heart, you open their heart, but that's not the goal. The goal is to bring in the nourishment. You bring in the word that you've been enjoying, right? Okay, so you bring a companion, you bring food, you bring the word. And the fourth thing, you stay a short time. Don't overstay your welcome, right? Stay a short time. By the time you're really enjoying, you're going to go. And they go, whoa, where are you going, you know? You get to come back again. You get to come back again, right? A sister will have a testimony. Three out of the four times that they visited were cherishing times in order to accomplish that one nourishing time, okay? So remember these few points, okay? Bring a companion, bring food, bring the word, and stay a short time. Okay, for our visiting people. So at this point, maybe I'll have a brother come up and give a little testimony about their experience in these few matters.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to share a little experience of something that's been going on at UCLA. This dear brother named Jonathan Franklin, he's the running back at UCLA. He was really seeking, and we had the opportunity to meet with him. But let me back up. Okay, sorry. Let me hit these points. Okay, so to feed others, we need to enjoy the riches of the Lord's divine life. Amen. So there's no way that I or you know, me and my companion can shepherd anyone if we're not enjoying the riches first. And that definitely starts in the morning. It starts in the morning. We need to be filled with Him in the morning. Amen. And this was our experience with this brother Jonathan. We were scheduled to meet with him. We were going to go visit him. And the first thing we did the night before was we got together and we enjoyed the Lord together. That was me and Joel Chang, a full-timer at UCLA. We had heard that he might have got some negative speaking about you losing your salvation. And we know that's not true. So we got together and we enjoyed salvation. We enjoyed the Lord's life. And so the next day, and also that night, we had some strong prayer. Me and my companion prayed strongly, binding prayers, loosing prayers, that the Lord would have a way. And we just covered the whole time in prayer. And so then the next day, again, you know, being filled with the Lord. And we went and visited him on campus. And we took him to go out to breakfast. There again, there was the warming up, right? We fed him physically. And that just warmed up his heart a little bit so that he was open to us. And just we conversed with him like, how's football going? You know, how's this? How's that? Just normal conversation just to warm him up. And the Lord really had a way, you know? So anyways, then we began to ask him questions because we wanted to see where he was. And that's a big aspect of shepherding, just asking questions to find out where people are. Because you can't meet their need if you don't know where they are. So, you know, we asked him about salvation. And we just opened up some fellowship, and we're able to give him Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But we couldn't have really given this to him if we hadn't enjoyed it first. So we enjoyed it first, and we gave him these words, and they were life to him. They became life to him. Afterward, he was so clear about salvation. He was enjoying salvation. He was calling on the Lord with us. And it was just so sweet. So yeah, I just want to emphasize being fed by the Lord, first of all, and then praying with your companion, the binding prayer, the loosing prayer, and then going to visit them and to usher in a warm environment. And then just listening to them and ministering life to them in a way that they would really be fed and they would really grow in life. So there'd be remaining fruit. Amen.
So this is good. Michael opened up. We must learn to listen, right? Learn to listen to others in order to realize their true need and real situation. This really requires us to stop ourselves. Stop especially our speaking. Of course, if we go, someone has to speak something, okay? But what we need to develop is to learn to open these ones and to get them to speak something. If they never speak, you'll never realize where they are. You just talk, and then you go away. Maybe sometimes our home meetings are like this. We have new ones that came and they never said a word. How do we know where they are? How can we apply the Lord's life? How can we, you know, heal the part that is hurting in them if they never speak, if we never listen, okay? So we need to develop these two points also. Learn how to stop ourselves and learn how to realize their true need and real situation. Learn to listen. Amen. Okay. So now these points, all four of these points, well, actually, maybe we just go on to the next one too. But these are all preparation, remember, before we have even, you know, said a word. Okay. Now you have a little conversation, so you go on to D. We must never argue with people, regardless of whether they are right or wrong. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
Amen. In your speaking, never argue with people. It is impossible to convince people by arguing with them. Rather, by the grace and power of God, touch their conscience. Their conscience is a part of their spirit. And when you touch their conscience, their spirit will be moved, right? We need to be very skilled when we come to people and to realize their real situation. Sometimes I visit some brothers and they're there and they are sitting on the couch at 11:30 in their pajamas with a computer in front of them. And the first thing they tell me is, Sam, this brother, you know, some complaint about this other brother, okay? Now what do? Right away, that's right, that brother's really wrong. That brother probably is wrong. You know, all of us are very wrong. But do I give him a way out? Okay. On the other hand, do I say to that brother, what are you doing? It's 11:30. Did you have morning revival? What did you do? You know? Why are you not dressed? Why are you not ready? What are you doing on YouTube, you know? At 11 in the morning. Okay, so we need to be very wise in our shepherding. We don't condemn the brother, and we don't condemn the other brother. We need to be wise to realize what the real situation is here. I look over on the table, and I see the morning revival is super crisp, and we're in week 3. Right? And under that is the Bible that has dust, okay? So we need to be very wise, right? We need to learn to observe, to listen, not to argue, not to fall into right or wrong. This is a big trap, right? Right or wrong. We need to be a person of life, and we need to bring them gently to warm up their heart and to touch their spirit, to touch their conscience, right? If we can do this, then, you know, this will really be a shepherding, right? Maybe we should say, we should say, well, we'll talk about something else for a little bit and go a roundabout way, right? Calm them down, let them settle from their, you know, emotion, from their mind. Then maybe just say a little something of your enjoyment. I don't know. Find a roundabout way. And then if they can touch their conscience, you have them come to touch the Lord, right? Then the Lord can convict them. Look at your attitude toward that brother. You know what I mean? Look at your attitude, right? Full of condemnation. Or he can touch him about, you know, you haven't touched me, you know, seek me, right? So we need to bring them to contact the Lord. Then the Lord will have a way and all their problems will be solved, right? How is our morning time? How is our feeding time? This is the big thing we need to do in shepherding people, right? We need to help them to contact the Lord. So all of these are before we even say a word, right? Never argue, learn to listen, pray in twos and threes, go and visit, and be fed first, okay? But once we do speak, right, we must minister life to others. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In order to minister life, you must have it first, right? Actually, if you're a person in life, you don't even need to go with a purposeful intention to minister life. Simply by being there, your presence full of life will be a ministering of life to them. Okay? Point F, we must take the lead to pray with others, to help them to pray, bringing them into a prayer life. And this is what I had already gotten into a little bit. You know, in every brother, the divine electricity is installed. The bulb is just not screwed in all the way. We need to get those plates to make contact with one another. Our job is really to be an electrician, not to be a problem solver, right? Our job is to connect them to the divine electricity, right? To supply them, to bring them under the headship of the Lord, right? If they're always under our headship, right? If we become the head, then you have to solve every single problem for them every single time. We cannot live this kind of shepherding life. We will be exhausted to the uttermost. We must lead them into a prayer life. We must help them to pray, right? And bring them into a prayer life. So we have to take the lead in this matter because many times the new ones under our care are just weak. They can't pray. They don't know how to pray. But we just lead them to contact the Lord directly, right? This is the best help for them, okay? We need to learn to shepherd people in this way little by little, okay? And then maybe going on for time, we must contact people continually with patience. You know, these new ones, because they're weak, right away they don't respond, you know? And we sometimes have frustration. Sometimes they're slow. Sometimes they're unresponsive. Sometimes they forget about what you said just a few days ago. we need to be very patient, right? Have this intimate, loving concern. I think we have a testimony here from a sister, Stephanie, who has experienced this a little bit with one of the ones under her care. Maybe she could come up and share that testimony.
Amen. Me and a couple of sisters, we met a girl over 2 summers ago, and it was her, she was an incoming freshman, and she came to our table because she was lost, and she was like, oh, Christian students, they must be nice. And so so she came, and we invited her to our events, and so she just started coming, but her progress was pretty slow because she would, in the meeting, she would be kind of spacing out and then, just looking past people, and then she wouldn't be paying attention. But she would still come. And so me and another sister, we invited her to our small group, and we would pick her up weekly. And it was the Lord's sovereignty that she moved right into the neighborhood of all the corporate living, so we would just pick her up along the way. But the thing was, she would forget that we would have home meeting every week. And, we would go to her house, and we would knock on her door, and she would come out all surprised, okay. And then so we learned to be patient with her, because we would remind her the day of Friday, okay, I'll see you later, we'll pick you up at 7, and she would forget again. And so we learned that for her, her pace was little by little, step by step. And we would meet up with her maybe 3 or 4 times a week. But 3 out of that 4 times, we would it would just be pretty natural, like human care, seeing how she's doing, how school's doing. But one out of that 4 times, we would have some spiritual feeding where we get into the Word, and we would talk about prayer reading or maybe calling on the Lord, and just something to feed her with. And we realized that, me and my companion, that without those 3 times of personal care, that we wouldn't have been able to feed her anything spiritual. And so it's been 2 years, right? And so this past spring, our club at UCI, we started something called the Spiritual Triathlon, where we took a whole quarter to endeavor in pursuing the Lord in the morning and touching Him through prayer reading, going through just having morning revival. And we were encouraged to have a companion. And so because this was like a club activity, it was much easier to bring it up to her. And she was very open and very willing to be my companion for this time without forcing her, and she was very happy to participate. And so for the first 3 weeks, I called her every day to read a little portion of the Bible and some ministry excerpts. And after 3 weeks, got kind of busy, overslept, midterms, she actually was faithful to call me and initiate the time. And I was very encouraged because she's, from past experience, she was very spacey, but she actually, called me and woke me up and say, hey, she looked forward to the time. And I was just really impressed, the little by little, step by step care, it did grow in her and progress. And so this summer she's actually in the UK to study abroad. And so I was burdened that, these past 2 years of care and labor wouldn't be in vain, that she would continue to pursue the Lord in the mornings. And so we actually got her connected with a sister in the UK to continue the morning times, because she really enjoyed it. And I look forward to seeing her in the fall, because she's going to progress even more.
Amen. So we must contact people continually with patience. Babies take baby steps, many little baby steps. We should never give anyone under our care the sense that we are forcing them to do anything, right? You push a little baby just a little and they fall over. We need to be very gentle. Sometimes we consider, why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you sharing your enjoyment? Why don't you want to pray yet? Why don't you get it? Dear saints, never force. Just let life grow. Let life operate. Give them life and life will come up. Okay? In our shepherding, what do? We don't push. We walk behind them. When they drop their bag, we help pick up their bag. When they get tired, we let them lean on us. When they trip, we help them up. We never push or force them to do anything, okay? Let's read I all together in a strong way, okay?
Ultimately, the best way to shepherd people is to give them a proper pattern. This is the example we see in the apostles, and this is the way we must also take.
I heard a quote recently from a brother. This was a parent who put this up, and it said, this parent said, "Don't worry about your children not listening to you. Worry about their watching you." Ultimately, the best way is to give people patterns. The apostles not only preached the gospel in their word, they lived it. Okay? The apostles not only preached the gospel, but also lived it. Their ministering of the gospel was not only by word, but also by a life that displayed the power of God, a life in the Holy Spirit and in the assurance of faith. Let's see two all together.
Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity.
Amen. You know, the pattern that my parents lived is an indelible mark on my being. I can never forget that they would open their home, that my dad would always have morning revival at 6:30, right? Right? That they would stay after the meeting forever. What's the point of that, though? Because they're contacting the saints. The saints were always in our home. We always had these strange, funny people coming over from my dad meeting them on the bus. What's the point of all this? They lived a life. This pattern is the strongest thing to me, and this is how I can continue. And we need to live such a life before all these ones, right? And so I just like to conclude with this. You know, there is a lot here. We need to fellowship with all of our serving ones, all of the ones in the homes that we know. We need to enter into this life of shepherding. But I just like to encourage you in this way. There is a price to pay, right? There's a big sacrifice. We have to let someone into us, into our being, you know. It requires a lot of energy. We need to put ourselves on the altar. But brothers and sisters, I just like to tell you this. When you put yourself on the altar, often when you get there to the place and you've offered yourself, you realize that this altar is actually a dining table. The Lord's food was to save sinners and to shepherd people. How can I serve for all this time? Why do we serve? It's not because we're special. It's because we've tasted the sweet enjoyment of bearing fruit and of having those fruit remain, right? I encourage you to experience this and to enter into this life. This is the most enjoyable life. So to practically do this, what I'd like you to do right now is to write down one or two names the Lord is burdening you with, right? Even before you go, maybe you can send them a text to see how they're doing. When you go back, give yourself to shepherd these ones, to begin to take a care and concern for these ones. There are a number of new ones on our campuses, right? And we all need to begin to raise up, to have a habit to regularly contact them in love, right? So how about you do that? And then once you do that, just pray with your neighbor for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm.